What do you think is, or at least should be, the most important question every person must answer? If we believe that there is more to life than our existence on earth, shouldn't our highest priority be where we spend eternity? I mean, even if you live a long life here on earth, compared to eternity, it's a drop in the bucket. So where we spend eternity ought to be certainly a pretty high priority as far as the questions we need to consider. Jesus seemed to think so. 4 times in the Gospel of Matthew alone, he spoke about entering the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 10:28, he said, "Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Where we spend eternity is very, very important. Now, I understand believing in heaven and hell are not in vogue these days, but for those who do, isn't knowing whether we're going to heaven or hell of supreme importance? And if so, how can we know? This is the subject of a little book that I have found to be very powerful. Its contents challenge our basic assumptions on the topic and can be really a helpful tool in sharing the gospel with others. The book is called, "Since Nobody's Perfect, How Good Is Good Enough?" And it's written by Andy Stanley. I have collected as many of these as I can find at thrift stores because I've given out a whole bunch of them. And no, you can't have this one. This one's mine. But I do have others that if you'd like a copy, you can certainly have one. I rarely preach through someone else's book. This is one I'm going to make an exception for. So in our Sunday night services over the next several weeks, we're going to go through kind of his progression of thought, because I think it's very important. I love the story that he begins his book with. It's about a Sunday school class of 6-year-olds. And the teacher was trying to impress on these young children what it means to be saved, or how someone is saved. And so he asked the class, "If I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all the money to the church, would that get me into heaven?" And all of the kids responded together, "No. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven?" And again, the children said, "No." He said, "All right, well then, if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven?" And again, the children all responded with no. He says, "So how can I get to heaven?" And one little boy stands up in the back and says, "You got to be dead." I love that. And you know, he's right. Nobody goes to heaven unless they're dead. You know, unless your name's Enoch or Elijah, you got to die before you go to heaven. According to Hebrews 9:27, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So it's once a person dies, their eternal destiny is set. And once they die, it can't be changed. So how do we know? How do we know where we will spend eternity? Can we know? So I want to begin tonight with a popular assumption regarding where we will spend eternity. My guess is if we would go out and we asked 100 people on the street, if there is a heaven, what kind of people will go there? My guess is the number one answer would be good people go to heaven. Bad people go to hell, or they at least don't go to heaven. Because more people believe in heaven than believe in hell. So, but I think the popular assumption is that good people go to heaven. That makes sense, right? God is good. Heaven is a good place. So wouldn't good people go to heaven? Satan is bad. Hell is a bad place. Satan's going to spend eternity in hell, so bad people would be there with him, right? I mean, it's just logical. And it's that logic that good people go to heaven and bad people don't has two things going for it. One, it's fair. You know, people that do good should get good things, right? They deserve that. If you do well in school, you move on to the next grade. If you do well in tryouts, you make the team. If you do well on the job, you get raises or promotions. You know, being rewarded for your efforts, I mean, that's all part of our human experience and expectation. So it makes sense that that's how God operates as well. You do good, I'll give you good. You do bad, I'll give you bad. And it's this cause and effect relationship that is illustrated in basically all of your mainline religious literature. Not just the Bible. You look at, you know, the Quran and the Book of Mormon and all of they all recount God's eagerness to reward good behavior. So it only seems fair that if you do good in this life, you'll get rewarded in the next. And secondly, this whole idea coincides with the idea that there's a good God. If God is good, he will fill his heaven with good things, and it only makes sense that he would fill heaven with good people. If heaven were full of bad people, it really wouldn't be heaven, would it? A good God in a good place sounds like the ideal destination for good people. And beyond that, maintaining this idea that good people go to heaven and bad people, you know, go to somewhere else, it's really effective in maintaining good behavior, right? You know, you want people to act right, tell them that there's a reward at the end. And if you don't want them to do bad, tell them that there's something horrible at the end of that road. Just makes sense, doesn't it? Unfortunately, though, it's not that simple. As logical as it may seem, the idea that good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell, doesn't stand up to scrutiny. We're going to see in a later message, Jesus himself did not promote this idea, nor did his apostles after him. Even in the realm of logic, this popular assumption faces some real difficult challenges. And the first of these is what I'm calling the problematic ambivalence. Simply put, if we accept the assumption that good people go to heaven, how good is good enough? Right? If you're going to accept this idea that good people go to heaven, how good do you have to be? How good must one be in order to get to heaven? Years ago, Dr. D. James Kennedy from the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, came up with a method of evangelism. It's called Evangelism Explosion. And it started out by asking a very penetrating question. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Or put another way, if you died tonight, why should God let you into his heaven? Now, if you're like most people, we would answer something along these lines. Well, I've always tried to, or I never did, you know, never did I ever, or I do my best. And these answers seem to run across the gamut of religions, Muslims, Hindus, even a lot of Christians. The majority of these answers go back to the individual's attempt to live a good life. Why? Because most people figure that good people go to heaven. But how good is good enough? Now, we know it's not 100% because nobody's perfect, right? I mean, nobody needs to be convinced of that. So it's not 100%. So where's the cutoff? Is it 90% get in? You know, if you're 90% good, you get in? That seems steep. maybe 80. Or 75, right? Three-fourths, maybe two-thirds. Hey, how about 51%, right? And let's be honest, for an awful lot of people, when they envision standing before God someday, they see a big set of scales. And God's going to put all your good deeds on one side and your bad deeds on the other. And boy, you sure hope the good deeds outweigh the bad. Because that means you're good, that means you get to go into heaven. Seems fair, right? But the problem, or at least one problem with that, is that we won't know until we get there. There's no way of knowing, am I good enough? And if in the process of my dying, I happen to do or say the wrong thing, is that one thing going to tip the scale the other way? Am I going to blow it in the bottom of the ninth when it comes to my life? You see, we can have no blessed assurance to know if we're indeed going to heaven when we die. And this leads us to the prevalent answer among many people, again, even Christians. I cannot tell you how many times I have come across this, where you ask somebody, these are good church people, these are people that believe in the Bible, they believe in Jesus, and you say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And they say, I hope so. You would be shocked to know how many people, how many Christians answer that way. Stanley shares a story in his book about his wife's grandmother. He says, several years ago, my wife Sandra walked into our kitchen, sat down on a bar stool, and announced that she wanted to make a special trip to her hometown for the express purpose of talking to her aging grandmother, Helen, about eternity. I was surprised. Helen was almost 90 at the time. She grew up in the local Methodist church. Until her health became an issue, she rarely missed a Sunday. She was way better than the average person, certainly good by anybody's standard. What brought this on? I asked. I'm not sure, Sandra said. I just don't know how much longer she'll be with us, and I've never talked to her about God or heaven or any of that. For most people who knew Helen, her ultimate destination would be the least of their concerns. If good people go to heaven, she was a shoo-in. Nevertheless, Sandra hopped in the car and drove 2.5 hours to chat with her grandmother. Helen knew what she was coming. Sandra showed up under the guise of wanting to make cookies. But after about 30 minutes of chit-chat, she popped the question. She says, Grandmama, we've never talked about heaven before. Are you sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Helen got big tears in her eyes and responded the way average good people respond to that question. She said, I hope so, honey. I hope so. 90 years of good living, standing by her dying husband to the end, serving her community, loving her grandchildren, paying her taxes, driving the speed limit, and she hopes she's going to heaven? If Helen can't go to sleep at night with a peace of knowing things between her and her Creator are good, I'm not sure who can. If Helen ain't sure, can't nobody be sure. So why is it that even the really good people at best hope so? I'll tell you why. Because nobody can tell you how good you have to be to get to heaven. Nobody. Don't believe me? Get out a phone book. You can tell how old this book is. And start calling the religious leaders in your community. You'll get an earful of information, but when the words finally quit flowing, you'll be back to, I hope so. So let me ask you tonight, do you feel this way? If you were to die this night, do you know where you're going? Or would you honestly have to say, I hope so? That's a lot of stress to carry around. Not knowing if you're good enough to make the cut, not sure if you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell, it's no wonder that many Christians still fear death. And that's another sermon. I want to tell you, friends, as Christians, we are not meant to live with this uncertainty. God wants us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are His children, And let me briefly demonstrate this from the Scriptures. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, which I believe was the first letter that he wrote, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Because you are sons, children of God, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." How do we know that we're saved? According to this verse, the Holy Spirit Himself testifies to that fact. You can know it because the Holy Spirit tells you. Paul expands on this thought in Romans chapter 8. Romans was written later. I often call Galatians Paul's rough draft of Romans because it talks about a lot of the same things. He just goes into much greater detail in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship," or as I like it, adoption. "And by him we cry, Abba, Father," just like in Galatians 4. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." No doubts, no hope so. We are God's children. Now, why would Paul mention fear? Because without this assurance of the Holy Spirit, we would fear whether we're saved or not. When we answer the question, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" with the words, "I hope so," there is bound to be some fear and anxiety behind that answer. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it's not speaking of wishful thinking. The Scriptures speak of hope as an absolute certainty of something in the future. Something that hasn't happened yet, but we are absolutely convinced that it will. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." There's nothing wishy-washy about that. There's no "I hope so" in there. Our hope is an anchor. It keeps us solid and firm. But the one verse in all of the Scripture that says it the best is 1 John 5:13, where the Apostle John writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." Know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Know with absolute certainty. No hope for, no wish for. Know it. We can be certain that we are saved, that we are children of God who are on our way to heaven when we die. And it's not because good people go to heaven. That might make sense to some of us, it might make sense to others. But it does not hold up to logical scrutiny or to the truth of God's Word. And in upcoming weeks, we're going to see why. I know this doesn't answer all the questions, so you're going to have to come back. But we are going to get into some very popular ideas that maybe some of us still hold, and find out that maybe that's not really the Bible, but we get that from somewhere else. But I want you to know tonight, as we close, you can know with absolute certainty that when your life is over, you're going to heaven. And I'm going to tell you that if you don't have that certainty, there's something wrong with your theology. And that's what we're going to get into later as we get into more of this series. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit who testifies in our spirit that we are your children. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit and the gifted individuals that you have given to the church to help us understand more clearly the truth of your word and the reality of our lives. I am thankful for this little book. It says it in ways I would have never thought of. And I pray that it'll be very helpful so that we have a clear understanding, that we can know with absolute certainty of where we're going, but then we can communicate that to others who merely hope so. Those who live in wishful thinking when it comes to an eternity in heaven. And it is my prayer that you will use this tool to equip us to be able to share with clarity the truth about our salvation. Go with us now. I pray that these will be seeds that are planted and that they'll take root and that we will see the fruit developing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.